Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. We'll be reading from verses 19 through 31, which is found on page 945 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and the place, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, in Christ, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, I was sitting in the doctor's office and getting a checkup and noticed the pink slip of paper that the doctor had given me, and on it, it had a list of possible complications that they wanted to make sure that I didn't have, but also there, it had a description and some questions about whether I had any identifying scars on my body, scars that someone might be able to identify me by. And indeed, I do have two rather pronounced scars on my body that I might share with you this morning, if you're interested. One scar is on my right forearm, a rather large scar that's been there ever since I've been 5 years old, the consequence of playing near some broken glass. I'm not quite sure what happened. All I remember is seeing the gash and yelling out, and my mother and grandmother coming to me and immediately rushing me to the hospital, and that scar has been there ever since, a rather large scar. The other scar happened when I was about 11 years old. I fell up against a garage door playing basketball and impaled myself on a rusty nail that was sticking out, and again, it was another trip to the doctor, another tetanus shot, and another scar. So those are the two major scars that are on my body. I have many other scars, but those are the most pronounced. I realize, too, that I have other scars, emotional scars, psychological scars, wounded places deep down in my psyche, but all of them, we all have scars, and all of them are scars that have come to define me in some ways, scars that identify me. We all have our scars. Some of our scars we might be proud of. We might not mind showing them off, like old Army veterans recalling some campaign in the past that they were a part of. And other scars we might not want to share. Other scars we don't want anyone to see or to touch because they remind us of our vulnerability. They remind us of how fragile we are. And those are scars that are too painful for us to touch. But whether we are proud of our scars or whether we try to keep them covered up, they become a part of who we are, a part of our story, a part of what helps to make us human. We all have our scars. Our text this morning is sort of a scar story. In our text this morning, the disciples have been deeply wounded and scarred by the traumatic events of Good Friday. They came into Jerusalem high on their hopes and aspirations, but like many of us, they soon found themselves overwhelmed by the reality of the power of death in the world. And so now they are fearful, hiding behind locked doors and locked hearts. That's what the power of death does to us, of course. It makes us afraid. One of the prevailing characteristics of our society, despite the fact that we live in the most secure country in the world, is how fearful we are. We are afraid. We are afraid of one another. We are afraid of people who are different from us. We are afraid that someone is going to come and get us. We don't know who's going to come and get us. We don't know any of that, but we are afraid. We live in fear. It is one of the reasons that we worship and idolize guns in our society, because we are afraid. It's one of the concessions that we make to the powers of death. We're so afraid. But it's in the midst of these kind of fears that the resurrected Lord comes in to us, just as he comes to his disciples in our text this morning. He comes inviting us out of our fears and inviting us to move away from the compromises and concessions that we make with the power of death, calling us to embrace a whole new way of life, abundant life, resurrection life. The disciples believe that they've locked everything out. They believe that they've taken all necessary precautions, but they cannot lock out the promise of a new life. And so the resurrected Jesus slips into their midst, just as he slips into the locked and fearful places of our own lives. And notice that Jesus does not come into their midst to scold them. He doesn't come to tell them how terrible they are. He doesn't say, "You weak-kneed cowards of little faith, why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you have faith in me? Why did you desert me?" He doesn't say anything like that. Those are the kinds of things that we say. That's the way we treat one another. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus slips into their midst and he says, "Peace. Peace be with you." That's what Jesus wants for all of us. He wants us to have peace. The peace that passes all understanding, the peace that comes from trusting God, the peace that comes from knowing that our lives are in the hands of a loving God, the peace that knows that whatever happens to us, that our lives belong to God, that nothing can separate us from God, not even the forces and powers of death can separate us from God. And so Jesus, the resurrected Lord, comes in to the locked doors and the locked room and greets his disciples. "Peace be with you." There are a couple of things we should note about this text. First of all, even though Jesus is able to slip past locked doors, he is not a ghost. He is not a phantom. He is not a disembodied spirit, but he is the flesh and blood Jesus whom God raised from the dead. The tomb that housed his crucified body is empty. That's what the angels say on Easter morning. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He's been raised from the dead. He is risen." The good news of the resurrection is not just that our spirits or our souls will one day depart our bodies when we die and go to heaven. It is true, when we die, we will go be with the Lord. But the good news of Easter is that God plans to redeem the whole of our humanity, to include our bodies. We believe in the resurrection of the body. That's what we'll say together in a few moments when we recite together the Apostles' Creed. But Easter is an affirmation of our material existence. It is an affirmation that God plans to redeem not only our bodies, but God plans to redeem the whole world. This broken and scarred and sinful world that God created good, but that we've made a mess of. God plans to redeem this world. And so the resurrection of Jesus, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, is an affirmation that God plans to redeem this world, this material world that God has created. That's why everything we do right now matters. Every cup of water that we give, every act of kindness that is done, every form of reconciliation and forgiveness that we engage in, every tree that we plant, every flower that we grow, it all matters. Not because God is keeping some kind of scorecard up there, but it matters because God plans to redeem the brokenness of this world. And so the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is the first fruits of what God plans to do for the whole world, for the whole creation. And what we do right now, what we do in our relationships, what we do with our bodies, what we do in the larger world, it all matters because God plans to redeem this world. The second thing we need to note is that the resurrected Lord does not leave his cross behind when he is raised from the dead. He continues to bear the marks and scars of his crucifixion on his resurrected body. In one sense, his scars are scars of shame, not his shame, but our shame. They reflect the deep resistance that we have towards the love of God in the world. They reflect just how much our hearts and our minds have been captured by the power of death. They reflect just how much we believe in death. We believe it. We believe in death. We believe in the power of death. We believe in the forces and powers of death. And Jesus has the scars to prove it. We don't want the power of God in our midst. We don't want the power of love in our midst. We don't believe in the power of love in our midst. We believe in the power of death. And Jesus' body reflects that in the scars and the wounds that we subjected him to. But in another sense, his scars are also scars of glory. They are scars of glory because they reflect the depth of his trust and obedience to God. They are scars of glory because they reflect the depth of his love and God's love for all of us and for the whole world. That is what the Gospel of John tells us, that God so loved the world that God allowed Jesus to be crucified on the cross. The God that we believe in, the Lord that we believe in, the Lord that we follow is not just the risen Lord, but he is the crucified Lord. He is the crucified and risen Lord. He is the Lord who still bears the marks of his crucifixion on his body. They are a part of who he is. They are a part of who God is. And they are what identify Jesus. One of the things that used to puzzle me about the resurrection of God is the resurrection of Jesus is why God didn't take away Jesus' scars when he raised him from the dead. Why didn't God raise Jesus to be scar-free and blemish-free? That's what we would do if we had the opportunity to do it. That's what we would want. That's our idea of perfection, to be blemish-free and to be scar-free. We spend billions of dollars each year trying to cover up our scars and our blemishes. But that is not how God does it. When God raises Jesus from the dead, he raises a body with scars. Scars in his hands, scars in his feet, scars in his side, scars in his heart. When Jesus is raised from the dead, he is raised complete with his scars. They are the proof of his humanity. They are proof of what he shares with you and me. They are also proof of his divinity, proof of what he shares with God. They are the scars of his glory, because they are scars of love. John tells us that Jesus is identified by his scars. Jesus doesn't just come into the midst of his disciples and say, I'm back and I'm going to prove it by doing something spectacular. I'm going to prove that I'm Jesus, the same Jesus that was with you before, by walking on water or by turning water to wine. I'm going to prove to you that I am that Jesus. No, Jesus comes into their midst and he proves that he is who he is by inviting them to see his scars. Look at my scars. Feel my scars. This is the same body that was broken for you. This is the same body that bled for you. This is the same body that was pierced for you. Look at my scars. It's upon looking at Jesus' scars that his disciples make the transition from fear to joy. They see his scars and immediately they are filled with joy. And it's upon touching his scars that Thomas, 8 days later, proclaims, my Lord and my God. They know that Jesus' scars are a part of his story, and they are also part of God's story. We all have our scars. This morning, I would ask us to consider our own scars, to consider those places in our own lives where we've been broken and wounded and are hunkered down in fear. I would ask us to consider those places where we are afraid, where we are afraid to love, where we are afraid to trust, where we are afraid to be vulnerable with one another because we've been deeply wounded and scarred by the world. We want to love, but sometimes we've been scarred and we are too afraid to love. We want to trust, but sometimes we've been wounded and scarred and we are afraid to trust. We are afraid to trust and love, and we are afraid to be vulnerable with one another because we've been wounded and scarred. One of the things that I've discovered in church is that we are often afraid, even here, to let people see our scars and our struggles. We are afraid for people to know how wounded we are, how vulnerable we are, how human we are. And so we often come here and pretend that we have our acts together. We often come here and pretend that there's nothing wrong with us, that we haven't got any struggles, that everything's all right, that we're not suffering in any way, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with us. But we are gathered here today not as a group of people who have our acts together. We are gathered as a community of broken and scarred people who realize that our saving grace comes not from our own power, but the power of God who can raise the dead and redeem the broken and scarred places in our lives. I hope we can come here in this place and be vulnerable with one another. I hope we can come here in this place and share with one another. We don't have to be ashamed of our brokenness. We don't have to be ashamed of our scars. We don't have to be ashamed that our lives are not all together. We don't have to be ashamed of the wounded places in our lives or in the lives of our families. I remember in the church that I served in Georgia, we used to have a time of joys and concerns where people would stand up and share the joys and concerns that were on their hearts. And oftentimes I would know that there were things going on with people who were suffering great things in their lives. Sometimes they were suffering from what was happening with their family members. Family members addicted to things like drugs and alcohol. Sometimes I knew of people who had family members who had been arrested, were going through all kinds of things, but they never got up to share their joys and concerns because they didn't want people to know the scars in their lives and the struggles in their lives. But again, we're not here because we have our lives all together. We are here because we are scarred people. We are here because we need one another. We need God and we need one another. We need the support from one another. We need to know that we are cared for and loved by God and cared for and loved by one another. So please don't be ashamed of your scars. Don't hide your scars. Don't lock up your heart, but come Share your scars. Share your vulnerabilities. Share your humanness, because that's what we are about here. We are here because we are scarred and wounded and broken people. The good news is that the resurrected Lord comes into our midst, not only that we might see his scars and touch his scars and remember his scars, but he comes into our midst so that he might also touch our scars and redeem the scarred places in our lives, so that we too might move from joy, from fear to joy, so that our scars too might become scars of glory. Someone said that God only works through broken things and broken people. And so oftentimes our scars can also be our badge that propels us out into the world to love and to trust and to be obedient to what God has called us to do. We are this morning a resurrection people. We are a wounded people. We are a scarred people. We are a broken people. We are a people who know pain. We are a people who know hurt. We are a people who know abandonment. We are a people who know betrayal. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows all of that too. His humanity has been demonstrated too on the cross. He too knows our pain. He knows what it means to be abandoned. He knows what it means to be betrayed. He knows what it means to be lonely. He knows what it means to be wounded and scarred. But because of his suffering death, we have the opportunity to be healed and redeemed. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was crucified so that we might have life. By his stripes and by his scars, we are healed. Don't be ashamed of your scars this morning, but hold on to the one who was scarred for all of us, the one who was scarred because of God's love for the whole world and because God's love for you and for me. Claim who we are this morning. Not a perfect people, not a people who has everything together, but a wounded people who is being trusted with the good news of the resurrection. The good news that God has conquered the forces and powers of sin and death. The good news that our wounds and scars can be glorified and redeemed in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us to be your people. You have called us not because we are perfect. You have called us because we are in need, because we are broken, because we are wounded, because we are in need of your grace and your mercy and your salvation. Lord, we ask that you help us to believe the stunning good news that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has defeated the forces and powers of death. He has defeated the forces and powers that separate us, that alienate us, that make us afraid. Help us, Lord, to claim the salvation that comes through him, and help us to follow him out into the world, to follow his love, to follow his compassion, to follow his wounded, scarred concern for each and every one of us. Help us to claim our own scars and our own woundedness, and help us to have those scars transformed so that in our very lives we too can proclaim the good news of your victory over the forces and the powers of death. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.